Well, by popular request, I've been asked to record the many jokes that we've told over the years. And as I saw the response to it, I had to admit that it's a good thing, a sense of humor. We all need a sense of humor. Too many of us don't laugh enough. And the memory of these jokes oftentimes brings back a happy feeling. And I'm sure that that very likely is one of the gifts of the Lord. When we look at creation and see all the animals that God made, he must have had a funny bone. Think of an elephant with a big long nose. Would you and I have created something like that? I don't think so. And also, if you had to select apostles, would you have selected those 12 blockheads? We would have selected Pharisees with PhD, SDD, and DDT. So, Lord, we dedicate this humor to you. And to begin with, some of you may have heard this joke, but it's still worth telling. The story is that Michelangelo painted the Sistine Chapel, and he had a great big scaffolding, and he was on his back painting for hours at a time. But people were allowed to come into the chapel to pray. And you notice one old Italian lady came very faithfully every day to pray. And he thought that the Lord wasn't answering her prayers. So he thought he would console her, encourage her. And so from the top of the scaffold, he pretended it was God's voice coming down. So there she was down there praying, and a voice came down from the ceiling. I will give you whatever you ask. No response from the lady. He thought she didn't hear. So, a little louder. I will give you whatever you ask. No response. In his loudest voice, I will give you whatever you ask. And the good lady looks up and she says, will you shut up, please? I'm a talking to your mother. Well, now, you know how some university students are very uppity. And they think they're smart. Well, these three smarty pants try to pull a fast joke on a professor. And it's the daughter who is telling the joke about what her father did. And they were at, of all places, a theological seminary, training for ministry in a Protestant ministry. And this professor was walking to class behind these three students. And as the professor came near them, he was white-haired, white-beard. And one of them said, look, it's Father Abraham. And the other said, no, it's Father Isaac. And the third one said, no, it's Father Jacob. So the professor stopped in his tracks and he said, I am not Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. I am Saul, son of Kish, in search of my father's asses, and lo, I have found three of them. You're a good audience. Think I'll buy you. And then there was a man who was auctioning off a parrot. And the bidding was very brisk. And as the bidding went on, someone said, $25. Another voice in a high-pitched voice said, $30. He went up 40, 45, 50, 60. And finally the bird was sold. And the bidder went up to the auctioneer and he said, asked if the parrot could speak. And the auctioneer said, sure can. It was the parrot that was bidding against you. Oh well, you ladies have done some jogging, probably to lose weight, right? Well, this woman is retelling the story. My Marine husband and I live on a military base. So when I began jogging to lose weight, I ran the route the Marines run every day, usually encountering the same platoon. I enjoyed listening to their cadence calls. You know how they run and they sing. It wasn't long before I could keep up with the platoon, and eventually I passed them. I knew my running program was a success when I heard them give me this special cadence. The big fat lady used to die, but now she's looking mighty fine. And you know the story about David and Goliath and the battle. Well, in Israel, they were digging up mummies in the Israeli desert, and they discovered a casket containing a mummy. After examining the artifacts, one of them excitedly called the curator of the museum in Jerusalem, and he said, I found the body of a 3,000-year-old man who died of heart failure. And the other man said, there's no way you could know these details, but bring it in, we'll see. A week later, Jacob received a call from the museum. You were right about the mummy's age and cause of death, the curator said. How did you arrive at these conclusions? Well, Jacob replied, the man's right hand was clenched around a piece of paper that looked like a ticket. On it was written, 100 shekels on Goliath. Ah, if I have to explain it. They took a lottery on David and Goliath. Well, it's on here for better or worse. And here's one on a minister. An officer friend of mine stopped a man of the cloth from speeding. The minister told the officer he was on the Lord's business. And the officer replied, I read the same Bible. It says, go out into the highways and bring them in. That's what I'm doing. And finally, a little bit of the Russian. At a meeting in the Iron Curtain country, a party member, Comrade Dobrinsky, got up from his seat and said, Comrade leader, I have only three questions to ask. If we are the greatest industrial nation in the world, what has happened to our automobiles? If we have the best agriculture in the world, what has happened to our bread? If we are the finest cattle raisers in the world, what has happened to our meat? The party chairman stared at the comrade Dobrinsky for a moment, and then he said,
It is too late to reply to your questions tonight. I will answer them at our next meeting.
When the meeting opened the following week, another party member rose and said,
I have only one question. What happened to Comrade Dobrinsky?
Well, to kind of get you started here, this one has to do with a couple who received a gift bottle of scotch and Irish whiskey. Now, later the man confided to a friend that he thought the Irish whiskey was definitely stronger than the scotch. So his friend said, what makes you think that? And he said, my wife and I drank it last night, then got up this morning and went to the 6 o'clock Mass. And the other man said, so what does that prove? And then he said, we're both Methodists. First time I heard that the Irish whiskey will convert you. Well, we're kind of revving you up here. A balding, white-haired man, whom I knew to be an automobile salesman, sat in the barber's chair next to mine. As the barber adjusted the chair, he asked, how would you like it cut? Now remember, this is the automobile man. So pointing to the side of his, he said, just trim the white wall. Then he pointed to the top of his and he said, polish the hubcap. I don't think you'll remember this one, but it's good. Remember the song, the old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O? Well, three contestants on a TV quiz were down to the last question of the final round. The master of ceremonies said, come up with a missing word at the end of the phrase, spell it correctly, and you'll win our grand prize trip to Europe. Are you ready? The phrase is, old MacDonald had a, and remember, you must spell the missing word. The first contestant said, old MacDonald had a house, H-O-U-S-E. The audience groaned. The second contestant tried, old MacDonald had a ranch, R-A-N-C-H. The audience groaned more. The third contestant got up and he said, old MacDonald had a farm. The applause was deafening. When it calmed down, the master of ceremonies said, all right, what you have to do now is spell the magic word and you win our super deluxe, super fabulous trip to Europe. That's easy, said the contestant. E-I-E-I-O. And here's a good one about a Jewish family. My mother suddenly became ill and was rushed to the nearest hospital, a Catholic institution, for emergency surgery. Still somewhat under the effects of the anesthetic, she was brought into her room. Mama was Jewish, and the nuns, transferring her from the stretcher to bed, asked me if she would be upset upon regaining full consciousness by the crucifix facing her bed. Bending over, I whispered the question in Mama's ear. After a long pause, she smiled, and she said softly, Narala,
meaning foolish little one. Why should I mind? Such a success by one of our boys. The nuns loved Mama for the rest of her stay. Well, you remember Noah and the Ark. By the way, that was in the news, a documentary on that recently. It's worth seeing. They found the Ark, but it's very inaccessible, frozen in ice. A Sunday school teacher asked her young class how Noah spent his time on the Ark. When it was clear no one was going to volunteer an answer, she smiled and asked, "Do you suppose he did a lot of fishing?" "What?" said a six-year-old boy with only two worms. Well, you have to admit they're pretty good, right? And here's what it has to do with bishops. An 86-year-old woman who was flying for the first time heard the following announcement come over the plane's intercom. "This is your captain speaking. Our number 4 engine has just been shut off because of mechanical trouble. However, there's nothing to worry about. We will continue our flight with 3 engines, and we'll land in Chicago on schedule. Also, I have some really reassuring news for you. We have 4 Methodist bishops on board." The elderly passenger, who had been listening apprehensively, called the flight attendant. "Would you please tell the captain that I would rather have 4 engines and 3 bishops?" And you know how important it is to have no smoking signs around. Well, this is a little brief one. These archaeologists in Egypt are looking at the hieroglyphics that are 3,000 years old, and they're reading, and his assistant says, "What does it say?" And he says, "It says, thank you for not smoking." And then this Texan. Have you ever met somebody from Texas? Nothing's bigger or better than Texas. Well, this Texan was visiting in Maine, belittled every scenic wonder that he was shown. His host, in exasperation, swept a huge lobster into his bed. When the Texan pulled down the covers, he gasped and called his host to the bedroom. "What in tarnation is that?" "That's a Maine bedbug," the Yankee replied. "Oh," the Texan says, he studied the lobster closely. Then he added, "It's a young one, ain't it?" Three people were lost in the woods, a grocer, a banker, and a politician. Eventually, they came to a farmhouse and asked if they could, if he could put them up for the night. "Sure," the farmer said, "but I've got room for only 2 of you in the house. The other one will have to sleep in the barn with the animals. And the smell is pretty bad out there." "I'll sleep in the barn," the banker volunteered. Half an hour later, a knock was heard on the farmhouse door, and there stood the banker gasping, "I can't take the smell." "All right," said the grocer, "I'll sleep in the barn." And off he went. In a while, there was another knock on the door. "Ah, I put up with some rank odors from spoiled food," the grocer said, "but that barn tops them all." "You two sissies," said the politician, "I'll sleep in the barn."
30 minutes later, came another knock on the door. When they opened the door, there stood all the animals of the barn holding their nose. Well, you've heard about prayers and how prayers are answered. Well, this Catholic fellow was praying, and he said, "Please, God, you know me. I'm always praying to you, and yet I've had nothing but bad luck, misery, and despair. Look at the butcher next door. He's never prayed in his life, and he has nothing but prosperity, health, and joy. How come a believer like me is always in trouble, and he's always doing so well?" And a voice boomed from beyond. "Because the butcher doesn't bug me, that's why." Well, this is a shorty. It looks like you're having all Catholic jokes here. or Christian jokes. A cousin who is a priest serves as an army chaplain. One evening, looking very handsome in his uniform, he attended a get-together at a friend's house. An attractive young woman sidled up to him and started a conversation. "What are you doing Saturday night?" she asked. And he said, "Hearing confessions. You'll be the first." Well, I have some that I remember. And one of them has to do with this was told to me by a young professor at Penn State. And this little boy was taking Bible history. And he was told the story of the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. And when he came home, his mother asked him, "Jimmy, what did you learn today?" And very matter-of-factly, he said, "Well, Mom, we learned about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. That's all." And she looked at him. She said, "Is that all the teacher told you?" Expecting more. So he kind of screwed up his face and he said, "Well, Mom, you see, it was like this. When Moses stood out there in the Red Sea, looked out there with all that water, and he looked behind him, he saw the Egyptians coming up fast. Well, he called up his commandos, and they put on their scuba suits, and they laid pontoons across the Red Sea. Now Moses calls up his tanks. The tanks crossed over the pontoons, and they lay a barrage behind the Israelites to keep off the Egyptians. Now come the Israelites. Moses has them cross over. Then Moses get over on the other side, and he gets his commandos to put explosives under the pontoons. Now here come the Egyptians. And when they're on top of the pontoons, Moses gives a high sign. And boom! Up go the pontoons and to the Egyptians." And his mother looked at him and she said, "Is that what the teacher told you?" And he kind of screwed up his face again. He said, "Well, Mom, if I told you, you wouldn't believe it." And then there's another scripture joke. You remember the story of Elijah on top of the mountain calling the Israelites to witness to the true God because they were worshiping false gods? And God had Moses, or rather Elijah, call up the false prophets, and they were to test who was the true God. 400 false prophets. And this teacher was explaining the story to this catechism class. And just briefly, you know the story. Elijah cut up an ox, so did the false prophets. And Elijah told the false prophets, "You go first, call on your gods." So they had all morning. They were screaming and yelling, cutting themselves with knives and dancing around. And nothing happened, and Elijah thought he'd encourage him and said, why don't you yell louder? Your gods are sleeping up there and want to wake him up. So nothing happened. And eventually it was Elijah's turn. And all he said was a brief prayer, but he had the Israelites work at it. He cut up the ox, they had to get the wood, set up the altar, dug a ditch, they carried water, filled it up, sprinkled it over the victim and everything. And then Elijah said a brief prayer, and pow, a tremendous fire came down, consumed everything, everything. And all the people fell in adoration, and they said, Lord, you are the true God. So when she told this story, she ended up with a question. And she said, now, why do you think Elijah had the people pour water all around the altar and the wood and so on? And one little girl raised her hand up. She says, I know. And the teacher said, why? And she said, it was to make gravy. Well, one more, and then we get back. This is supposed to happen in Ireland. These two sisters were driving a car, and they were very low on gas. In fact, so low that they finally just made it to the gas station, and the motor conked out. And lo and behold, the gas station attendant said, sisters, I'm sorry, we're waiting for the gas truck to fill our tanks. And tell you what, I have only a little bit I can give you. It's enough to start your motor and get your car going down the hill. And at the bottom of the hill is another gas station, so you can get your fill there. So he pours the gasoline in a pop bottle. And now the sisters are out there pouring the gasoline into the tank from the pop bottle. And who drives by? A Methodist minister. And he sees the sisters with the pop bottle and he stops. And after they've done it, he looks at them and he says, sisters, I have faith, but I don't have faith like that. This little poem here is an encouragement to see laughter as something very good for us and God-given. Now, it's true that monkeys seem to laugh, but they are not really laughing intelligently. This poem is by Father Peter Nearing, and it's entitled A Time to Laugh. Give us something good and funny, fountain fresh and pure as honey, something to arouse the humors, help us forget the blessed tumors. Why should all our thoughts be sober, dry as leaves in late October? Let us toast the saints of laughter, praising God before and after. How about that? All right, so with that kind of permission, then, I'll indulge you. A young man in South Louisiana came into a big windfall of money and decided to buy a deluxe CB radio for his car. So he went into a classy radio store and he asked for the best model. And the salesman said, I've just the thing. All the latest features. It has three buttons. If you press the first, you can talk to anyone 100 miles away. That's fantastic, the young man said. Show me more. If you press the second button, You can talk to anyone 1,500 miles away. The young man was so impressed that he bought the radio without asking about the third button. So later, while he was driving down the road, he tried out his new CB. And he pushed the first button, and he got someone in North Louisiana. Next, he pushed the second button, and he got someone in California, and he was excited. And then he pushed the third button, and the radio sputtered, smoke and sparks flew out in all directions, and he said, "Oh my God!" And a booming voice came out of the radio, "Speaking, good buddy, what's on your mind?" Well, I told this, I think, a long time ago, and you may recall. This woman had a parrot whose name was Gilda. And it had a line of speech that was surprising, which was, "My name is Gilda, and I'm a swinger." Now, the assistant pastor had two parrots, whose names were Mike and Pat. And of all things, Pat could say the Our Father. And Mike could say the Hail Mary. But now he was going away for a couple of weeks, and he knew that Mrs. Smith had Gilda. So he decided to put up the two parrots with her. So the first day, the two parrots were in the same room with Gilda. Gilda speaks up. And she says, "Hello, my name is Gilda, and I'm a swinger." And Pat says to Mike, "Mike, stop your praying. Our prayers are heard." And then there's the, remember the song, "Home on the Range," where the buffaloes roam, not a discouraging word is heard, okay? Well, this cowboy was riding along the range, and he came on these buffaloes. And he rode up to one of these buffaloes, and he looked at him. He said, "Look at you, you big lump, that big ugly hump, shaggy hair, beady eyes." And he rode away. And the buffalo looked at another buffalo, and he said, "You know, I think we just heard a discouraging word." Well, all of you make deposits at the bank. And you know that if you have savings and you have an early withdrawal, there's a penalty. Now, this man stopped by his bank to cash a check. Just as he got into the lobby, another man with a large bag came running past him, apparently heading for the exit. Then the bank secretary guard came dashing by, followed by several bank employees. The security guard tackled the man with a bag, handcuffed him, hauled him back into the bank. The man who had gone in to cash his check was shaking like a leaf. "I've actually seen my first robbery," he said. As he approached the teller's window, he couldn't resist finding out more about what he had just witnessed. "Was that a real robbery?" he asked. "Oh, no, sir," the teller replied calmly. "That was only our substantial penalty for early withdrawal." And be careful. How many have cats here? Regretfully, I have to admit there are two where I'm at. Well, a cat went to Florida and saw a group of old cats sitting together talking.
That's not for me, he said. Now he journeyed on. Soon he came upon a group of cats discoing. A little sadly, he said, that's not for me either. And he continued on. Then he spotted a cluster of mice swooping around on skateboards. Ah, he said, that's for me, Meals on Wheels. Here's one about our Blessed Lady, but with a strange twist. Billy wanted to be the best little leaguer on the block. Every day he was out on the playground of St. Joe's Elementary School playing baseball with his friends. His big dream was one day to hit a home run. How's practice coming, Billy? His mother asked one day at lunch. Yeah, it's okay, Mom. But I'm still no closer to hitting my home run. I try and try. I swing the bat as hard as I can, run as fast as I can, but I either get tagged between bases or I strike out altogether. The guys get mad at me because I don't just stay on one of the bases. But I really want to hit a home run just once. Well, son, why don't you pray some rosaries to the Blessed Mother? She'll see to it that you get your home run. Ah, Mom, that wouldn't work. Girls don't know anything about baseball. Finally, this one. The patient went to his doctor for a checkup, and the doctor wrote out a prescription for him in his usual illegible writing. The patient put it in his pocket, forgot to have it filmed. Every morning, for 2 years, he showed it to the conductor as a railroad pass. Twice it got him into the movies. Once into the ballpark. And once into the symphony. He got a raise at work by showing it as a note from the boss. One day, Miss Layden, his daughter picked it up, played it on the piano, and won a scholarship for the conservatory. Now, this joke here is entitled, The Power of a Few Good Women. A group of church women waiting for entry into heaven was greeted politely at the pearly gates by St. Peter. Ladies, I must apologize for the inconvenience, but heaven is full. You will have to wait below until our new wing is finished, St. Peter said. The women were very unhappy, but had no choice. Several days later, St. Peter got a frantic call from old Satan himself. You've got to do something quick and get these women out of here, he griped. With their bake sales, rummage sales, bazaars, they're only $50 short of air conditioning this place. Well, if you have a nephew, or you're still young enough and you have a little boy, maybe this one will make sense to you. This little boy wanted a bicycle for Christmas. So he started praying. And nobody seemed to be hearing his prayers because nobody was answering. So he thought of a little strategy. One night he took the statue of Our Lady from his mother's room and he wrapped it up in a blanket and he hid it in the closet. Then he went over to his bed and he prayed. And he said, Lord, if you ever want to see your mother, you better answer my prayer. I'd say he'd make a good politician. This is a shorty. There's so many good ones about the Soviets in Russia. A Russian was convicted by a Soviet court for calling the Minister of Culture a fool. He got 20 years. 5 years for slander and 15 years for revealing a state secret. And now the famous one. How many here have never heard this joke about the Holy Father needing a new heart? Raise your hands. All right. So we want you all in the act now. So now, this is a mythical Holy Father. There's no diminishing, you know, the dignity of the pontiffs. Our present pope, the last popes, were saints. I'm sure Pope John Paul would laugh at this. But this is an Italian pope who is talking in broken English to the audience in the square on a Sunday about his heart. So he starts out. My people, I have a bad news to tell you. I have a bad heart. Do you love me enough to give me a new heart? And all the people say, Holy Father, we love you. We give you one heart. But you know, I need only one heart. I tell you what I will do. I will drop the feather. When the feather falls, that will be my heart. Holy Father, we love you. We give you one heart. And now the feather's falling. Holy Father, we love you. We give you one heart. And the feather never fell because it kept blowing. Well, have you had enough? I've been waiting for that. No, okay.